given us a structure. So we chant Samsarava, Shiguru Charana, and Namaste. And the 16 rounds. It's very important. Why is it so important? Of all the services we do, chanting Hare Krishna, doing kirtan, doesn't really have a structure. We go in the temple to cook for the deities, there's a structure there. We have to be Brahman, we have to have taken a shower, we have to be clean. We have to be on time. There's certain things that Krishna likes to eat. We don't just speculate and do whatever we want. There's a certain number of preps we have to do. We have to make a garland for the deity. It's the same principle. We have to do anything that we do. It's the same principle. There's a structure. With chanting Hare Krishna, there's not really a structure. We have to give that structure ourselves. The discipline of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And why do we have to do that? Why is it so important? If we can't do that, after a while, all that will happen is we will be going from job to job. Where is the question of devotion or service? It will just be a job for us, from one place to another. And the material world is ruthless, because that will have nothing to do with devotional practices, even though we will be chanting Krishna's name. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says very clearly, the whole paragraph, that Krishna is not always found in Krishna Kirtan. He says sometimes some people who are singing Hari Hari and they're getting paid for it, actually they're singing money money and just increasing their bile secretions. That's his own words. So, the material world being ruthless, what will happen, what happens all the time, is after some years, others will rise up, younger, better kirtaniyas, more talented, more beautiful, whatever. And then we will be interacting on the platform of competition. Where do we go from that? Is that what we want? The only way is to follow what the acharyas gave us. Unfortunately, there is no shortcut. There will never be a shortcut. We have to put these efforts. Three things should never be given up, Krishna says, right? Austerity, sacrifice, and charity. If we examine those three things, it's all about denying oneself, which we don't like to. I mean, is Krishna so mean or the acharya is so harsh? Why? They don't want us to take another body again and again. We've been trying to do that. So especially if we're wanting to do this great service of Harinam, we have to somehow get some qualification. Otherwise, it will be interaction just like within the entertainment industry, nothing more. And just like during japa, we chant in nama parad, or nama bas, or shodhanam, in kirtan it's the same thing. There's no difference there. Unless we're a pure devotee, we don't know who's chanting purely. So, there's who lead, who want to make this a service, it's a responsibility. Now, seva is very important. Why? Because this is going to teach us on a practical level what it is to be servant. We have very good friends in England. Amongst them, we know a couple. They are really good friends. We were at their place one time. And they wanted to show us, they were telling us of a story of a boy that they knew who went to Vrindavan to join the 24-hour kirtan there. Sorry, I have really bad lower back pains. And he went there, and he was a great fan of Ayendra Prabhu. It was during the time when Andrew Prabhu was still around. And he would videotape him everywhere. So when he came back to England, he wanted to show his friends, see how Andrew Prabhu is so humble. So he was showing this video, and on that video you could see, you know, it was a few years before Andrew Prabhu left his body. You could see him surrounded with all his, at that time, his pretty much his only associates were young Gurukuli boys. So that's surrounded by the boys, and then it was time for his kirtan. He's going down the stairs into the temple room. And as we know, you know, there are three altars, and the kirtaniers, they choose pretty much in front of which altar they're going to sit to do kirtan. And Ayanda Prabhu decided to sit, you know, in front of a particular altar. When he arrived there, he noticed it was dirty. So he couldn't sit there. He took off his chadar on all fours. He started to clean. And our friends were telling us, and the most amazing thing is, all these boys were looking at him. Not one went down to help him. Come on. Not one. And when he finished cleaning, they all sat down to have the most ecstatic kirtan. Service is very important. And on that note, Madhava will tell you a little bit about Ayanda Prabhu, you know, service and chanting.
As we all know, one of the key ingredients for chanting, well, japa and kirtan is humility. And Ayanda Prabhu taught that by his personal example. I joined the 25 kirtan when I was 18, and I was Ayanda Prabhu's mridanga player. And one day he came to my room, knocked on the door, and he said, Madhava, let's go clean the toilets. And I looked at him, I thought he was joking. And I never cleaned toilets in my life, not even at home. And I said, no, let's go clean the toilets. And these are the brahmachari toilets in Vrindavan. I wouldn't give any graphic description. You can use your own imagination. It was pretty filthy. And I said, no, no way, I'm not going to go clean these toilets. And I said, no, please come with me. We'll go clean toilets together. It will actually be good for your kirtan. I said, no way. And he left the room, and I saw him a couple of minutes later, you know, in his gamsha, a pair of gloves, and a gallon of acid, walking towards the toilet. And it just gave me a couple of minutes to think. You know, here's this, you know, great devotee, you know, who has so much taste and faith in the process of chanting, you know, willing to lower himself to go and clean the toilets. And here I am, you know, this 18-year-old boy, you know, with, you know, so much ego, you know, thinking I'm the best mridanga player on top of the world. Who am I to think like this? So I quickly change into my gamsha, run to the toilet and join Ayanda Prabhu. And Ayanda Prabhu started scrubbing and he was chanting at the same time. And we cleaned toilets for like 2-3 hours. And it was one of the best experiences, you know, I've had. You know, I felt, you know, it was really cleansing the heart. So this practical seva is very important. When we're chanting, we're asking for service. My dear Lord, please engage me in your service. And then service doesn't mean only kirtan. Service means menial service also. You know, we're chanting Hare Krishna, but then someone comes and tells us, Prabhu, can you sweep the temple? Prabhu, can you please help me clean the toilets? And we said, no. I'm doing my service is kirtan. I can't do this. these other services. So we should be very conscious and very careful, you know, because when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we ask Him for service, and Krishna gives us the service. And Ayendra Prabhu taught us, you know, by this perfect example. There was once, Radhika was speaking about, you know, sadhana and following the principles. One time this Gurukuli boy challenged Ayendra Prabhu. He said, Japa is not the Yuga Dharma. Harinam Sankirtan is the Yuga Dharma. And Ayendra Prabhu, he turned red, you know, and he got so angry. And he said, I chant 64 rounds or more. That's why my kirtan have so much shakti. And you can't even chant your 16 rounds and you expect your kirtan to have any potency. So, you know, this japa and kirtan, they go hand in hand. And once I asked Radhanath Swami, what is more important, japa or kirtan? And he said, if your japa is good, then your kirtan will automatically be good. And if your kirtan is good, then automatically you'll want to chant good japa.
So whatever we're talking about here is this real effort to become a devotee. It's the platform of Madhyam, right? On the platform of Kanishtha, one's faith is so frail that the slightest breeze of a test snuffs it out. Or sometimes, on the platform of Kanishtha also, you can find devotees very learned in Shastras, but who are only Guru and hopefully Krishna, and who use Shastra and their knowledge to put themselves above everybody else. I am on such an elevated platform and I see the faults of everyone. If only they would listen to what I have to say, they would become as good. So Kanishtha thinks I'm already there. And Madhyam thinks I have to work very hard to get there. That's all right. Prabhupada said we should at least come to the Madhyama platform where we are physically, visibly doing things, you know. Maybe I had an argument with somebody and it was pretty nasty, and 2 hours later I come, Prabhu Vidyaksha Mahabhava and says, I may not really believe in it in my heart, but I go through the motions because I would like to be a devotee. I do things that devotees do because I want to elevate myself, to purify. It's all about purification, removing the anartas, very important. And the Uttama, he thinks, whatever I do, I'll never get there. We can't understand Uttamas unless one is an Uttama. Bhaktisiddhanta saw Bhamshidas Babaji as a liberated soul. The external vision, he looked like a madman. Maybe to aspiring devotees, he looked like a sahaja. Who would chastise their deities, telling the Gonita, I will break your legs if you go out? Who can understand that? We can't understand that. So that's a real platform we interact, is trying to get rid of anartas. Because if we cannot do that, we cannot serve Krishna in any way. It makes sense. As long as there is something in the heart, how can there be space for Krishna to come in there? I have I guess it's a personal story, we shouldn't really talk about oneself, but it was such a struggle. I joined the temple, was a brahmacharini, and you know, did everything right and all that. So when we moved to Switzerland, I like to read, and I like to read novels. And I read Harry Potter 24 times. And at one point I realized there's something wrong. It's not so funny. It's an addiction. It's the same as anybody else who's fallen. I couldn't get rid of it. I would sleep before I went to sleep. I remembered Harry Potter. When I got up, first thing I remembered was Harry Potter. And I knew, okay, something had to change here. So in 2009, the first day of Kartik, I made a vow, I'm not going to touch any karmic book. I've been clean ever since. But I kept all the books in the cellar. So 5 years ago, I decided to give all the books away. It was really painful in the heart. Really painful. So I gave all of them away, but I kept Harry Potter. So last week, on a Sunday, Madhava was going into the temple in Switzerland. I said, can you please take this bag? There's a Harry Potter in there, and I'm giving it to a 12-year-old. I only gave one book. I didn't want to give the rest. And I realized, why am I doing this? Because I think someday in my life, when I will feel bored, I will feel unhappy, I will feel lacking in something, this is where I will go to get the happiness. It's taking shelter. Anartas, to remove them, it's really painful. It's like you have to wrench one of your limbs. It's so painful. I still have the rest of the Harry Potters in the cellar. I will give them away. I've already made up my mind. It's enough now. Time is up. But it's a real work on the platform of reality. It's not work on the platform of theory. It's real. And now we come a little bit to the mood of Caitanya. He's a servant. Okay, we have established that. But how do we do it in kirtan? Do I just come for my own kirtan? And when it's over, I get up and I leave? Or am I just focused in my kirtan? When somebody else is chanting, I'm on my phone, I'm joking with my friends, and, you know, I'm just being a clown. Is this what it is? And in my kirtan, I give my everything. Servant, it means, first of all, if, let's say there's a 24-hour kirtan, an 8-hour kirtan, a 12-hour kirtan, whatever it is, we commit. We commit for the pleasure of Krishna. On our level, whatever we do is for our own purification. Not really for the pleasure of Krishna, actually. But the pleasure of Krishna means we would have to know him, to know what pleases him, really, in reality. You know, he's a person. He's not just a theory, an idea. You know, when Prabhupada says, try to know Krishna, it's like he knows who he's talking about. And he says, the only way to know Krishna is to hear from him himself, because he's talking about himself in the Bhagavad Gita. And he says, so you try to understand Krishna by reading the Bhagavad Gita. And at the end, when I was listening to his lecture, he makes a slight pause, but the mind keeps running. And I thought, in the end, you become an associate of Krishna. And Prabhupada says, and at the end, if you're fortunate, then you surrender unto him. It's never going to happen. How many lifetimes? We surrender from the platform of knowing Krishna. But it makes sense. Why should I want to surrender and love somebody I don't know? That wouldn't make sense. So all we're doing right now is to purify ourselves so that we come to that platform of starting to know who Krishna is. By that, we have to be servant. We understand that here on this material platform, on that material plane, actually. So when it's a 24-hour kirtan, we are singing our slot, and the kirtan is really ecstatic. We feel maybe the inclination to go a little bit 10 minutes more, 15 minutes more. Why not? Everybody's getting so feeling such ecstasy. What about the person who comes after us? How does that person feel? Is this respectful? Do we think we're so much better than the person after us? That everybody should hear us sing because we're so talented, we're so expert? Maybe we are. Maybe the one after us is not so talented, not so expert. But who is the judge? So on the platform of service, it's a real effort to be conscious. It's not so easy. We are conscious that Sri Harinam is a personality. He is a person. He is the only enjoyer. Bhaktisiddhanta, one of his prayers is, O Sri Harinam, the Upanishads are performing arati to the tips of the toes of your lotus feet. It is such a beautiful description. It's like almost revealing those lotus feet to us so that we can almost see the lamp of that arati reflecting on the toes of that lotus feet. He's a person. And to understand that, unless anattas are gone, it's impossible. I will read from Bhaktisiddhanta's 100 verses against Prakriti Sahajas. One will never attain a glimpse of the Lord's form through the holy name if anattas are not eliminated. If anattas are not removed, then the holy name will never produce knowledge of the divine qualities of Krishna. If anattas are not destroyed, by the chanting of the holy name, one can never engage in Krishna's service. This is really harsh. But there's a process. Prabhupada says a process, step-by-step process. It may take some time, but we have to have faith in the process. And we do it. And the quickest way really is by chanting. All the acharyas say so. But in the right mood. And it needs to work. It's not going to happen automatically. It needs to work. It's a very famous occurrence that Bhaktisiddhanta used to put people who did not know how to sing to lead arati, isn't it? Because he wanted us to become attached to the names, not to the melody, not to the talent, not to the voice. But on our level, we need sense gratification of good music. And hopefully it will purify us to the stage where we can just hear the holy name for the sake of the holy name. So we understand also now, you know, to end this section, that on the stage... On the stage of anatta nivritti, it is all about Krishna. It is not about ourselves at all. Here Bhaktisiddhanta quotes, talks, at the stage of anatta nivritti, one cannot observe material attributes in the form of Sri Krishna. At the stage of anatta nivritti, material elements can no longer be perceived in the Lord's qualities. Right now, we're seeing everything through the senses that are completely material, which we cannot engage in Krishna's service. Na bhavat gahat indriye. We cannot engage in Krishna's service. It's impossible. We can start with the tongue. We can start with chanting. Right now, whatever we do, like this morning we heard in class, you know, even if we go on Sankirtan, maybe some days we are down, but then we go anyway, and then we feel ecstatic at the end. Still, it's about us. It's for our purification. This verse that Bhaktisiddhanta talks about, it's pretty much, when will the day come when I will serve Krishna as He wants? His happiness will be my happiness. That's the gopi's prayer. Because until it comes to that point, it is not pure devotional service. It's a long process. So now, we also talk about the supreme Kirtaniya of this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came. So if we understand what he left behind, we understand the process of chanting Hare Krishna. Glories to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all this accumulated for years. The Chetta Darpana Marjanam literally mean Chetan is consciousness, Darpana is mirror, Marjanam is to clean. We are literally cleaning the mirror of the consciousness. And what happens when we do that, it reflects the spirit soul, who we are. That's the cleaning process. We start to understand we have nothing to do with this body. So this first verse, the Shikshashtakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining the glories of the Sankirtan movement. Just like he's an expert gardener telling us about the Bhakti Lata, the weeds, and different things, he's also an expert salesman, it looks like. He's attracting us to the glories of a Sankirtan movement. Why? Because we are really interested in being immortal. Every decision we make, even when we go to the store, is this going to last? How long is this going to last? If it lasts for a long time, it's a good quality. We'll get it. We'll take it. Whatever decision we make is based on the assumption we're going to live forever. This is no, I mean, you know, we all know that. So in the first verse of Shikshashtakam, it's all promised in there. We will live forever. We will be blissful forever. We will be all-knowing forever. This also is one disease in the material world, isn't it? We always want to know better than anybody else. So it's all promised in the first verse. So we come to the Sankirtan movement with that, attracted by that promise. And you would expect that the second verse would tell us how we become part of this whole Sankirtan movement by becoming some kind of associate again. Because it's already spoken on such a high level. Why is the second verse? My Lord, you have hundreds and thousands of names. And in each and every name, you have invested the Sarva Shaktish. I am Sadhu Devam. And not only that, there are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. But I'm so unfortunate. I have no attraction for any one of those names. This is our condition. We have no attraction for any one of those names. So what to do? What to do is we try to chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind. What is a humble state of mind? Do we practice to be humble? How do we get this humble state of mind? On the low platform of my realization. You know, when Rupa and Sanatana say, we are more fallen than Jaga and Madai, it's based on reality. The reality that they were in the employ of the Nawab, who would send people out to destroy Vedic culture, to destroy temples, to persecute the Brahmanas. So when they say we are more fallen than Jaga and Madai, one of them was the treasurer of the Nawab, he would be paying such destroyers of human culture. It's based on the reality. Jaga and Madai maybe disturbed the peace at night by singing too loud when they were drunk. They didn't do more than that. So when we chant Hare Krishna in a humble state of mind, we are the only ones who know what is in the heart. We were in Perth with Burijan Prabhu, and he was telling us, I remember when people criticize us, how angry we become. But the reality is, if they could only know the reality of what is inside, it's not half as bad. It's much worse. We are the only ones who know that. All that lust, that anger, that envy, the weaknesses, the promise we make to ourselves that we cannot keep, the failures. What can we do? And the worst is we're so helpless. We cannot do anything. And the next time we pick our japa, how do we chant? With pride? With prestige? Which one? It's a helpless state of mind. Because, oh my Lord, I'm a wicked materialist, but is this how you treat your servant? And to kick him away? You have to accept me with whatever I have. This is all I have right now. I'm trying. It's not happening. And if somehow we come to the stage where we do chant in a humble state of mind, this Daniel attracts Krishna. You would think it's over. Now I'm firmly situated. But no, what happens? Tanam janam sundarim. That's why the next verse is nadanam, najanam, nasundarim. It's really chanting in progress. I don't want all those things. I don't want the followers. I don't want the wealth. I don't want the beautiful women. I find that in the Kali Yuga, worse than beautiful opposite sex is ourselves, because in the sense of it's an age where internet is prominent, our pictures is on there all the time, and we have to look good. No one is more dear to us than ourselves, and to give that up is much harder than anything else. I don't want all that. So if we cannot get beyond those two verses, we will never come to the stage of, oh, son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your Kinkara. I'm an eternal servant. I've fallen in this ocean of repeated birth and death. Pick me up. Place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. These two verses are the Shikshashtakam. They are key. What to speak of the other three verses, Bhava, you know, Prema and Mahabhava. Don't even go there. Not on our level. This is a lot of work. Vedi Sadhana Bhakti is one of the first process we have. We cannot give up. Unfortunately, it's a lot of work. We cannot get away from it. Tomorrow is the other part of what we will do. We will stop here, and hopefully we will have the realizations of the senior devotees who will help our own understanding. So, thank you. Malabha will start Kirtan at 8 o'clock. So if anybody please add something. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Radhika Devi. My question is, sometimes the kirtan is so sweet and so enchanting, you just want to be in the kirtan and you have 12 rounds left to chant. And then you have this pull. I have to chant my job. I have to complete my rounds. But I want to be in. So I did both. I was chanting on my rounds, and every time everybody was following in the chorus, then I was singing. Then I was chanting a little bit because I didn't want to leave the kirtan, but I had all these rounds. So is that wrong or is that right?
One of the first things that we understand in devotional service is conscious, right? So when we're chanting our japa, depending on our level of surrender, we're trying to consciously hear what we think, what we're chanting. These three syllables of Hare, Krishna and Rama. Already, when we are trying to focus early in the morning in a quiet place, the mind is running everywhere. So if you can do it, then you do it. I mean, if you are able to focus one line on the japa, one line on the kirtan, I mean, we are adults, we have free will. You have to choose your own. That's up to you.
Thank you very much for the harikatha. My question is, when you're talking in general about if we know we don't know Krishna, or we see everything spiritual or material, I get kind of confused because we don't know each other's heart. We don't even know ourselves. So how we can generalize that we don't know Krishna, we don't know the spiritual or we don't see anything as spiritual. I don't understand it.
I also don't understand your question very much. You said, how can we generalize that we don't know Krishna? So when I'm saying we don't know Krishna, you probably know Krishna.
No, I don't say so. I say that how it is a reality that we don't know Krishna, that we don't see Krishna anywhere. We don't see Krishna in the tree, in the harmonium, in the altar.
So what is the question?
My question is that I know that we're dreaming, but my question is actually how you can confirm that we don't see Krishna everywhere.
When Arjuna understood who Krishna is, he became so scared. I thought you were my friend. Obeisances from behind, from in front, from the sides, from everywhere. And he realizes he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A handful of people realize Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, if anybody would realize Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prabhupada comes, sits in Tompkins Square Park, with no one around, chanting words that nobody understood at that time. What is these strange words he's singing? What is the result? He changes the course of history. We are all sitting here today because of him. This is somebody who knows Krishna. So you can see by the behavior of somebody if he knows Krishna or not. At the same time, like Vamsidas Babaji, he was an avadut. Anybody who would see him, they would think this is a madman, or if we would be trying to be devotees, maybe we would think he's a sahaja. But it took Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who himself is a pure devotee. But okay, maybe you're right. I mean, probably you're right. I'm talking for myself. Maybe you all see Krishna. Anybody would please add to what we said, that would be very enlightening.
Fools rush in here. But there's a saying, the more you know, the more you don't know. You know, and again, fool thinks, I got a label, I got to figure it out. So if someone actually knows something about a situation, there's a lot going on here. And I'm just beginning to enter into it. But a fool thinks he's got to figure it out.
Anyone else want to add something, Shesha Prabhu? Any realizations? Any?
Thank you, Radhika Maharaji and Mahaprabhu, for this mood of kirtan. I think it's so important. Although it may go contrary to the mood of humility that you're both expressing, I just can't help, anytime I meet you in different places in the world, be just thoroughly impressed and almost awestruck by the humility with which you lead everyone in chanting the holy name. Last night we were driving home after the kirtan, and my wife and I concluded that just seeing you, Madhu, leading the kirtan, you don't move. You sit still, but you drive everyone mad by your kirtan. So some shakti is being transmitted by your chanting and enlivening devotees. So just thank you for your sacrifice of traveling around the world to bring Krishna kirtan to everyone.
Thank you, Shesha Prabhu, for your kind words. The holy name appears out of his own accord. So it is not us that's making kirtan happen. This is not our performance. But it is everyone's, you know, appeal. You know, when we're chanting in the right mood, with the right attitude, and pleading humbly to Krishna, you know, my dear Lord, please look at the condition of my heart. I'm helpless. But please, I want to chant your names. Give me the strength. And when we do this, like Radhika mentioned, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, only for Krishna's pleasure. Then the whole atmosphere changes because the focus is not on the kirtan leader, the focus is not on anyone except Krishna. So it is not us making the kirtan happen, but everyone's energy, everyone chanting together. Hare Krishna.
Just thinking that one of Tadashi's young sons is here. I was wondering if he could tell us something of his experiences of the holy name in chanting in New York City. Would you do that for us, Ruby?
Since it's requested by a senior devotee, I'll share something. Just on the point of what Mataji was saying about knowing, having a relationship with Krishna. When I first went to New York, I'm assisting, and they're doing Harinam 6 hours every day. After a short time, I realized that I don't really have so much taste, because in my life, growing up in Krishna consciousness, it's this kirtan festival and that kirtan festival. So when you go once in a while to a kirtan festival, then it's great. Wow, all the devotees are there, and this Maharaj and that Maharaj, and they're so talented, and all the best musicians show up, and it's great. But when you're doing it every single day, all day long, then you really start to think, is this something that I really have a taste for? It's with everything in life. But in Krishna consciousness, it's, and my experience was that if I don't find out who this Krishna person is, I won't be able to do this service anymore. Because how can you say Krishna, 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 Krishna every single day and not know who Krishna is? I was just appreciating this point, which is something that His Holiness Sachinananda Swami says at every opportunity that he can, that hearing about Krishna and sharing with the other devotees about his pastimes, or even just talking about Krishna conscious experiences that we have, these bring out our natural attraction for Krishna and increase our knowledge of our relationship, which is already there. So that was the biggest realization that I had so far. That when we have a relationship and we are cultivating that relationship, then we'll be able to chant more and more and more. Then we'll actually be able to be attentive, just like we're attentive to the needs of our child because there is a relationship. You're not attentive to the homeless person on the street because there's no relationship there. So I thank you very much for making that point.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. We'll take one last one.
It's always such a pleasure to have these kirtan retreats, especially to have you and your wife here. I always feel a little sad. I remember the beginning days of the movement, even though I didn't participate in this so much, where they went on Harinam, you know, out in the streets every day for like 8 hours a day. So I always feel a little sad that we're not able to bring it out And like, you know, sometimes I know we don't have much time, only a couple of days. But this time, you know, we have more time. And it's just my secret desire that sometime we could all go out on a great Harinam and take, you know, just really give out the mercy. Because they need it, you know. We have it, and the more we give it, the more we'll get.
Sure. Well, next time we'll talk to John Master Mipuru, and one day we'll go out on Harinam. Thank you. So, thank you, everyone, for coming and joining us tonight. We'll you know, keep on going and try and put any points that you've just heard into practice. You know, anything that stuck with you, let's try and put it into practice and do kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.